Bar Radio presents
Access All Areas.
And we have our final guest. You know him,
don't you? Do you know how much I love this guy?
Well, he's here on the phone right now. Hello, David McIntosh.
Yo, what's up, guys?
We love you on TV, David. Are you going to do more of this? Because I'd love to see you in the jungle. I think you'd be like the proper Tarzan.
No, I'm not. I would, but is the jungle a test to me? I would love it, you know what I mean? But is it a test?
Could you cope with all the bugs crawling all over you?
You know what? I couldn't.
See, I would like to see.
I'd love that. Have you been out with a few snakes? So you'll be fine. I didn't say that.
Yes! You know, you're right, you've got it! High five, yo, high five right now!
Access All Areas, every Thursday from 6 p.m.
Viva Radio.
Got our next guest, Ollie London. Hello.
Yes, hey, what's up? Thanks for having me today, guys.
That's all right. We called you a K-pop star on Twitter, and that seems to have garnered a lot of hate, shall we say.
You know, I'm so used to the hate. It's just because I'm British, and K-pop is traditionally made by Korean artists or Asian artists, so I'm doing something that's never been done before.
Yeah.
So, like, everywhere I go, I just get hate. And there's absolutely no need for it. You know, I'm just doing something different, and I always believe that music is a universal, you know, genre, that everyone has the right to make music, whatever genre they feel. But yeah, I'm sorry that you guys had to experience.
Oh no,
that is silly.
It's fine, you know. But I mean, if this is something you have to, you have to deal with regularly.
I mean, it's insane.
Like, is it because there's literally no one else that's doing what you do?
It's just because it's different. You know, a lot of people accuse me of cultural appropriation when really it's cultural appreciation. And I just generally, I've lived in Korea. I love Korean culture so much, and I just love the music. So I'm very passionate about it. So, you know, I make music that's half Korean, half English, and people, you know, seem to have a problem with that. But I've got a lot of support as well, which is great.
Beat. How did you first come into it? How did you first become aware of it?
Again, it was just living in Korea, and you know, you're exposed to it all the time when you're watching TV. You know, every shop you go to is playing cute K-pop music, and it's very positive. Yeah. It's always got a positive message, and BTS is the boy band that I look up to in Korea, and they've just got such an incredible message about loving yourselves, you know, being happy, being confident. So I love it.
Can you talk Korean then?
Oh God, you put me on the spot here. But I'll speak a little bit. Let me say hi. My name's Ollie. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Okay, so 안녕하세요. 만나서 반가워요. 올리입니다.
Really?
Oh, wow,
good.
That's quite
I mean, I'm saying this like I can speak a single word of Korean.
Can I
can't.
Say hello?
Yeah, 안녕하세요.
Say again?
Let me do it slowly. 안녕하세요.
안녕하세요.
Yeah,
안녕하세요.
No.
Lost it. That was stressful.
You tried. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Korean's like a really hard language to learn, isn't
it? It's tough, but you know, if you can speak a few Korean words, Korean people really appreciate it. They go crazy for that, just because you make the effort. So even saying hi, how are you, or you know, I love your country, something like that, they really appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sure that if there's any Korean fans listening, they're going to be appreciating.
Hey guys, I've tried.
Korean.
Yeah, I tried.
So you love BTS. Obviously, they are kind of like taking over the world, really, aren't they? What do you think it is about them specifically that people really resonate with?
Well, I mean, BTS started back in 2013, and they've only really got really huge around the world, you know, the last few years.
Yeah.
And it's basically, there's been other artists. There's been, obviously, Psy, Gangnam Style, which everyone knows, and that kind of helped pave the way for K-pop artists. But yeah, BTS really changed the game. It's their music. It's just so artistic, the way they do their videos. The lyrics are very meaningful. They're about their struggles when they were, you know, up-and-coming artists and to their rise to the top. But it's always talking about remaining humble and loving each other and spreading a very positive message.
But a lot of people do that kind of thing. Why do you think they're different?
I don't know. I mean,
they just seem to resonate with people.
Their talent is incredible. I mean, each time they release an album, it's a very different style. So they just released a new music video today, and they're doing a very kind of artistic ballet kind of dancing. So they're just so good at adapting to completely different styles of music, styles of dance. And, you know, their talent is just unrivaled in the world. You can ask them to do any kind of dance or song and they can do it. They're just very special.
I wish I was like that. Multi-talented.
I've seen your TikTok. See, you're right.
I mean, I'm getting there with the dance moves. That's about it. I can do like 6 moves and that's it, but I mean, my ballet's a lot.
I know, it's crazy. They're so talented.
Now, you've spent time and money, I guess, trying to make yourself look like Jimin from the band.
Yeah, do you know, funnily enough, the reason I'm hiding my eyes today is because I've just had an eye procedure. I mean, I'll show you guys, like, my eyes are very sore. I've just changed the shape of my eyes to look more like Jimin's. But yeah, no, I've changed myself a lot since.
What is it about him?
Well, I mean, how do you even go about that? I wouldn't even know where to start. And why? Why would you want to do that?
I just love the look. I mean, Jimin's my favourite K-pop star, but I think the Korean look is very beautiful. So K-pop idols.
But you can love the look. Do you have to repeat it for your yourself?
Yeah, do you know, it makes me happy and gives me confidence, and because I'm doing K-pop music myself, you know, I need that kind of look, and all K-pop stars do change themselves to look a certain way.
Yeah.
Did it hurt?
Like, yeah.
I think fact you looked really nice when you're actually showing it off a little bit more.
It's cute, but I only got it done a few days ago, so it's very, very sore.
Oh, bless. How long did that take?
It was only, it was non-surgical, but it was, you know, they were putting plasma in my eyes that was burning. I had my, you could smell my skin burning.
Oh, did you have this done in London?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've done a lot of things in Korea. I've had my jawbone shaved, my chin bone shaved, my cheekbones reduced in Korea. But yeah, I just did this recently in London.
So I'm obsessed with the show Botched.
Oh, I love
and
Botched.
And of course,
yeah,
you was
on it.
I've always wanted to ask, was you asked to go on Botched? Did you, like, say to them, I want to come on? How did you go about it?
Yeah, basically, they approached me because I'd had a few botched surgeries. So, like, I'd really messed up my nose. You know, I'd gone to quite a few different countries and they made my nose just horrendous. It was, like, completely scarred. I've still got a bit of a scar and it was just huge. It wasn't straight. So, like, I really needed help. And they'd seen me on a TV show and they approached me and they were like, maybe the doctors can help you.
Yeah.
You know, they flew me out there and stuff. And the doctors were absolutely amazing. They're so sweet and
yes.
so much fun as well.
I love both of them.
And I had my beautiful cardboard cut out of Jimin when I went into the doctors and they loved that as well.
Oh, so yeah, you've married this cardboard
yeah
pal.
I was gonna ask this as well.
You even have a ring on your finger.
I've got a ring saying Jimin's name and his birthday as well. But
and
yeah.
I know you actually did a magazine article about it, didn't you, for a BTS special
a magazine, but I also did an exclusive with Daily Mail TV in the US.
And it was filmed, wasn't it, the ceremony?
They aired the wedding. Do you know what, I was just turning 30. I thought I'd always wanted to get married in Vegas. I'm here now. I love Jimin, let's do it. So
now do you think Jimin knows who you are?
Yeah, I'm always on Korean TV. I mean, I'm always in the news there. Like, I don't know what he thinks of me. Like, I'm sure he appreciates it, but maybe he has a laugh or maybe he finds it flattering. Who knows? I'd love to find out.
Have you met him before? Not even like in passing, like down a corridor?
No, I wish, but you know, hopefully
one
day.
I don't think they can get close to the general public.
They can't get close to them. They're so exclusive, yeah.
I mean, if I got really close to Channing Tatum, I'd probably just poke him. And
I think I would as well.
This is it.
I know, I'd probably faint if I saw him as well. But yeah.
Oh, wow. Have you been to any of their concerts?
I've seen them. I've seen them in Vegas at the Billboard Music Awards, but I'm going to go to one of their concerts this year in the US. But hopefully with this coronavirus thing, it doesn't stop it because a lot of K-pop groups are cancelling
Korea
concerts.
Korea has been quite badly hit, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, after China, it's got quite a high number of cases, but it's just annoying because a lot of the K-pop groups are cancelling their concerts. So I've got my fingers crossed that BTS, you know, can still come to the US.
And you obviously have a documentary coming up.
I've got a lot of things coming up. Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about that. So it's the one Controlled?
Yeah, so I've basically got a show called Controlled and it's basically about anti-bullying. So obviously I get so much bullying because, you know, I'm doing the K-pop music and I'm doing it with Alicia Jade from Love Island. She was on it back in 2017 and we're basically raising awareness of the effects of online trolling and also how, you know, people should be more kind and more thoughtful and compassionate, especially with young people. Because I've received so much trolling now, I've made it my mission to help young people.
Yes.
Because a lot of young people, they can't deal with an online troll. If someone says, you know, you're ugly, you're disgusting, something like that, it can be very hurtful for, you know, an 11-year-old girl. So my mission now through that documentary is to kind of raise awareness of that and encourage people to be more compassionate.
I think that's a good message to have. But obviously you have to deal with some pretty horrendous things like and even death threats.
Yeah, I mean, I get death threats every day. And
But you say that like it's something that people just deal with.
It becomes normality, don't it?
Has it become so normal that you don't even consider it a real threat? Or is it like...
I mean, are people literally threaten if I'm doing a concert or something, they threaten to come there and hit me or something or shoot me. Like, I get that all the time and I don't really take it seriously. I just think it's just a troll.
Yeah.
You know, they don't even have face pictures on these social media. So it's like... They're just basically, you know, very sad people, got a lot of insecurities. They just like to attack people that are different. But yeah, it's crazy the amount of messages I get every day. Like, I've got so many fan accounts, so much support. So I always try to read through that. And that's such an amazing feeling. But yeah, to get all those trolls every day. But, you know, I've got very thick skin and
you have to.
You know, if you're an 11-year-old girl and you get that level of trolling, it could have serious consequences. But luckily, you know, I'm very thick skin.
FUBAR Radio presents
Harriet Rose.
Misunderstood her in the building, Jeff and Stefan. How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and a happy new year.
Yes.
Let's start with X Factor.
That was incredible. We met Beyonce. Like, it was
Beyonce,
like the biggest thing ever.
Yeah, it is.
She was like, I love your energy. And she hadn't even heard any of our music.
Yeah. The one thing that was mind-blowing, though, is that when we did meet her, she was like, hi, I'm Beyonce. And we were like,
yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah, we know. Thanks.
Well, no.
Yeah.
You were like, sorry, what?
Who's that?
Oh, that's a nice name.
Remind me again.
Cinderella.
Remind me again who you are. It was nice to meet you, Beyonce.
Beyonce.
Harriet Rose. Every Thursday from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Freddie Long. Welcome to FUBAR Radio.
Hello, thank you so much.
We're both in a very good mood.
We are indeed, yeah. It's a Thursday.
I feel like we're vibing because of that.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's grim outside, but who cares?
Hey, we're not letting it get us down,
We're not. We're here for the positive vibes all day.
All day, every day. So, Freddie, babe, let's start at the beginning. You grew up in Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic musical place, Brighton. Mm. Just talking about The Great Escape earlier. Big lineup.
Love The Great Escape. Love it.
Are you a big attender of The Great Escape?
Played last year for the first time.
Congrats.
Which was so crazy. Yeah, it was so, so nuts. Having grown up there as well, it was a mad experience.
Beautiful, yeah. Always nice so to play nice. Hometown.
So nice. And it was sunny as well, which is nice.
I go most years and it's when it's sunny, it is like
it makes a difference,
crazy
right?
good. Yeah. Because yeah, yeah. you just, I mean, it does make the beers flow a little bit faster
it
when
does.
It's
sunny,
which is not good for me in a hangover sense, but it is a lot more fun because I've been there when it's, I think the year before that
it was grim,
it was raining so hard that
remember,
it was like I wanted to cry in between venues.
Yeah, I know. It was, yeah, when it's sunny it's just, it's dangerous because like you say, the beers do come a little bit easy, but you know,
who cares, YOLO,
exactly.
as they say. Tell me a bit about what spurred you on to start making music in the first place. Grew up in Brighton. What was the kind of first steps you made?
Like, I was always sort of, like, well into music, that cliche thing people say. But, yeah, like, I always loved music growing up. Like, listening to bands like Blink-182 was, like, hooked on that sort of, like, dark, depressing stuff. But I loved it. Like, and then...
Bit of Papa Roach,
all of that.
Linkin Park,
All of that. And then, yeah, like, that sort of inspired me. And then just from there, just...
When did you start playing guitar?
I was probably about 16.
Because you're good, you've got good guitar fingers, I've seen.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, but thank you.
Bling.
Yeah.
Very good to watch. I enjoy watching people play the guitar because it's something that I have a guitar that I've never played. It's just on my wall,
just
which
looks nice.
Enrages people that actually do play the guitar because it's like, you are a waste of space. And I'm like, I know.
Do they come in and they're like, oh, that's a nice guitar, what can you play? And you're just like, nah.
Nothing, it's never left the wall.
Oh, that,
and then
dude,
I'm like, please play
it.
I sort of rate that. Thank you.
Like sometimes they are just there to look nice, you know?
I got it for free,
Well, there you go.
I didn't pay for it. It's not my fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk a bit about White Water. This is your new single. It's very beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
You wanted to spread a message of light coming from the dark with this
tune. Yeah, I think, I mean, this EP generally is called Darker Days, and it's sort of like looking back at sort of past experience in my life where, yeah, shit's always not always gone to plan.
Mm-hmm.
And this song in itself... Yeah, it's about you know, people around you looking back who have been there for you, but through that, there's always that sort of past experiences, temptations trying to creep back in and fuck shit up, really.
Yes, well, that's life,
that
isn't
is life,
it?
Yeah.
But it's nice, though, and it's kind of good to have that vibe with making music, also to reflect on times when you weren't so happy and kind of use that as ammo to create new music is like kind of perfect, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
You released your debut EP, Blessed or Cursed, last year.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel kind of coming back with another EP since then? Do you feel like a different artist? Has anything changed?
It feels great. I mean, like, I've been writing this one for quite a while now, like nearly sort of a year. Well, just writing a bunch of songs and then so from that, just sort of working the EP. So definitely feel like I've sort of developed as an artist. I think it's much more of a clear understanding of sort of the sound that I want to sort of put out, as well as a sort of message. But you know what was nice is that I had the time to write, so it wasn't ever like, right, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like, right, over the period, write some songs, and then from that I sort of saw that actually, you know, that's the way it's going to go.
And you start to at that point, I guess, form yourself more as an artist of like exactly what it is you want to be.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. Like listening to, you know, you listen to loads of music, different genres, and I guess that sort of influences you. But when it comes to actually making music, and it's like, oh, well, I like R&B, I like hip hop, I like sort of indie, I like rock. It's like, So I guess that process was a nice sort of learning curve and experience.
And now is the time to genre, like, hop around,
think,
you know?
Yeah. Like I find it so hard when people ask me, what's your genre like?
It's a weird question. I don't ever ask that. What I tend to do is talk about it like, these are the genres that fit the vibe of what you do.
Yeah.
But it's hard for people to categorize me. You have to kind of categorize in some way for the listener, I guess.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's like, if the listener is only a fan of like hard metal.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah,
it's
it makes,
a weird
yeah.
thing. But equally, I think now...
more than ever, people just aren't adhering to that, and they're not. Also, they're not just saying yeah, yeah, yeah when they're asked. It's like, no, actually, it's not that.
Yeah,
it's this.
It's a cross. I mean, there's so many crossovers, like you say. It's just like they're all sort of blending to like into each other in some
merging.
Sort of merging.
Nice. So, what word. Are you working on right now?
So, the single came out last Friday. So, it's
and
been,
Darker Days is coming out.
Darker Days is coming out sort of mid-year. So, perfect. we've got another single before then called Fade. And then we've got the whole EP that comes out mid-year.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. It's going to be really cool. Like, really, really... I mean, I've enjoyed this process so far. I just got back from Germany, which was sick.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I played in Hamburg and Berlin for the first time, which was mad.
Oh, that's incredible. And what was the vibe like? What was the audience?
Dude, it was so crazy. Like, like, I was not expecting it at all. Like, we went over there and then, did two little sold-out shows over there, which is just, like, unexpected and just...
That is so nice, I think. I can imagine, as an artist, one of the most exciting things is when people in a totally different country are
like,
listening to your music.
What the hell? Yeah. Like I was saying, I was like, what?
That is mad.
And I felt so bad because I didn't know any German.
I mean, listen, hun, it's fine. German is quite similar to English anyway. There's some words that are quite similar.
Really?
No. I'm just trying to make you feel better. But I think that's so lovely to go and connect. I mean, you said, you could hello is
hello.
The same.
Yeah, and what?
Oh, is that the same?
No, I don't know, but it sort of sounds similar. I
think okay, sort of, you're just making it words now?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, cool. No, that's really lovely. And are you going to be hitting the festival season this year?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. We've got Great Escape, you know, hopefully we hit that.
Sick. I'm going to be coming down, so I'll definitely come and check you out.
Sick. Yeah, I can't wait. Fingers crossed the weather's nice.
Yep, get those guitar fingers ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Primed. What do you do to protect your... Because it's quite scary, the idea that what if you broke your finger or something?
Yeah, I guess you just have to play the guitar... very
with your mouth
with your mouth or your fingers or your toes.
There's get actually a
video
now.
There's a video that online is from dude playing with his toes. It's pretty impressive.
That's terrifying. It's not something I'm interested in at all. Yeah. I have no dexterous toes is something that freaks me out.
I feel that.
Seen on Instagram people, I've seen it a lot with guys on girls, like to ask them for like feet pictures.
Yeah, I'm not on that.
What is that about? Has anyone ever asked you for a foot picture?
They've not actually. They've not.
Have you not got nice feet?
I guess not. To be fair, my feet are pretty rogue. They go like my biggest toe is my middle toe.
Whoa.
So they look like that. Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, listen, weird. You do your thing. Kylie Jenner's getting a lot of shit online about the fact that she's got weird toes, apparently. I just saw that on an article today. I had someone create an account for my belly button once.
No way.
Yeah.
No
Harriet Rose's belly button. I think it's still there.
No way.
Yeah.
What the hell?
You know you've made it when you've got a belly button account.
Do you know what? That is legit. Verified and everything.
Also, I don't think my belly button is in any way nice enough to
It must be. I mean, if people are creating an account.
It's an innie, though. That's what they wrote on the bio.
Shit, that's
funny. Yeah, there was a guy that's true. My producer Natalie's just reminded me there was a man who used to tweet me once a week. By the way, where has he gone? If you're listening, hun, you need to get back in touch. He used to tweet me to ask me to he'd said Tommy he'd give me money for me to give him an atomic wedgie.
No way.
On a weekly basis.
What? How much money are we talking?
He used to listen to the show as well, so every time I talk about it on the show, he'd be gassed.
No. How much? Did you get an offer?
Well, Nat actually tried to broker a deal once. I think you said $2,000. Yeah, she asked for $2,000, which was obviously a little bit high.
Didn't quite bite it.
We didn't hear back, and he's obviously moved on.
He's
to
obviously
the next,
moved on, yeah.
The next gal.
Poor guy, loves a wedgie.
Yes, an atomic wedgie, though.
Yeah, what is an atomic wedgie?
I don't know, and it's even the idea of it scares me.
Yeah, and to come in strong with that line, can you give me an atomic wedgie?
He still actually comments on a lot of my Instagram videos asking about whether he can give me an atomic wedgie.
Oh, he wants to give you one, or him?
No, sorry, he wants me to give him one. I mean, nice guy, I'm just not interested.
No, I feel that.
It's for $2,000, because in which case, we all need $2,000.
Take a wedgie for $2,000.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
If you were going to have an Instagram or a Twitter account, like a fan account, based around any part of your body, what would it be?
Ooh.
You got good eyebrows. Maybe it could be about your eyebrows.
Your eyebrows? Yeah.
That'd be good.
Just like different like facial expressions.
Yeah,
like caught
just
at different moments.
How Freddie Long works his eyebrows.
I'm down for that.
I feel like you wear a lot of hats as well. Maybe Freddie Long hats.
That could work.
Didn't someone make you a hat?
They did in Berlin.
That's cute.
So mad. They came up to me afterwards and like, hey, I've knitted you this hat. And I was like, what? That's so sweet.
Is it right? Okay. I've never had any fan mail or anything because I'm not like a singer who's famous.
But you've had a belly button fan page.
Well, that's obviously iconic, but you know, not the same as getting fan mail. But I always think about this when people make you stuff. Like, this is a really weird thought, so just bear with me on this.
Okay.
But I would in my head be like, I wonder if you've rubbed this on your genitals or something.
I mean,
like, if someone makes you cupcakes, it's like, have you put your finger in it? Like, what is the vibe with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm down with that. Anything edible, I think staying clear of.
Yeah.
A hat, you know.
Just wash it.
Just wash it.
Because what if they have rubbed it on their genitals? Would that be fine?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. You know, listen. I guess so.
FUBAR Radio presents
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club.
We're joined in the studio now by Morgan McLean. So how did you get involved with Sunday Brunch?
We were up for a Time Out Award for Best Shop in Muswell Hill. Won the award and I was over the moon, drinking the free champagne like no one's business. Sure. I go up to the stage, I'm crying so much, I'm so drunk, like so drunk.
Yeah. Like, did you swear?
Yes, we were on television, like I was so nervous.
Yeah.
I got through the segment and yeah. Tim went like that on my arm, held my arm, was like, sorry about the swearing. And I was like, shit, did I fucking swear?
Did I fucking swear?
Nick and Nat's Fan Club. Every Friday from 12 PM.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined in the studio now by DJ Ironic.
So are you Ironic now or are you DJ Ironic?
Do you know what? It's whatever I feel on the day.
Today, oh, yes.
Today I feel just ironic, I think.
Okay, you're just ironic.
Yeah. To be fair, like whether I'm like DJing out or if I'm out DJing, then usually it's DJ Ironic moment. But if I'm just
when you're honest, a rapper, but you're a DJ for your own rapping as well. But or do you have your own DJ as
no,
well?
No, I DJ for myself.
So, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. So that does make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
You're behind a laptop.
Yeah, yeah. Behind. Well, I don't use a laptop. I use my USBs.
Right. And then so you're DJing in the middle of the stage and then you're also rapping.
Yep, I'll go in front of the stage, rap on top of the song, go back behind the decks, press play on the next one.
I saw Craig David do something very similar.
Well, he took my idea, but...
Is that right? Of course.
No, I've seen him do that as well. Sure. He does it.
Oh, the crowd really loved it. The crowd really loved it. Yeah. House of Pain, jump around. You go, yeah, well done, Craig. So you've got a single coming out.
Yeah.
Is it out or is it coming out?
It's out already, yeah. The video's out. It's out on all streaming platforms, so yeah.
Cool Poppy.
I guess that's it now, right? Because you have to have the video as part of the release, really. It's basically part of your YouTube hits will go towards that chart position. And everything, right?
Right, yeah. So you just straight everything at once. Before it was like you put it out on radio first and then it goes out on iTunes or whatever and then it goes out as a video release, but now it's just straight everything at once.
Good. And you've actually, because you're still a young man.
Yeah. I'm trying to be.
You're still a young man, but you have been in the game for a long time already.
Yeah.
You're incredibly successful straight out of the gate.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Well, it depends, because I started DJing when I was 13, but the actual mainstream success didn't come until when I was about 19, 20. So I put in a lot of work before that. But just, you know, when I started writing and becoming a rapper, I was about 17, 18. So it took a few years before finding my actual lane and then becoming a success, man. So I started young, so that's why I am still young but I've been in the game for so long.
So. Yeah. So you've seen lots of changes in the music business anyway?
Yeah, 100%. Seen a lot of artists do what I do, come and go. And just like from vinyl. I started out on vinyl and turntables to now USBs, like I said.
So when you say you were DJing at 13, were literally DJing for other people or for...
Yeah, for other people. But I was just doing DJ sets in the club. So I was even too young to be in the club.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
I remember going on the Soul Solid Crew first tour when they were promoting 21 Seconds. And that was like the first club I went in. And just to see that, I think from there, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. So
right. So yeah. when you were turning up at 13, were you sort of seen almost like a novelty? Like was part of the selling point that you were 13?
100%. Like, right. Here was this young little kid behind the decks. I had to use like a stool to stand on. But I remember at the time, because I'm short anyway, but back then I was really short. But I remember at the time there was also another DJ that was really young and he was like my rival. His name was Little Charlie. So a big shout out to him. But yeah, it was like either Little Charlie or DJ Ironic, which one's going to actually be this big DJ when they grow up.
So. Did you hate each other?
No, I never. I don't have hate in my heart, man. So but he was like my nemesis.
He was your counter. Your other.
Yeah, no, big shout out to him. I hope he's doing all right now. So,
that was you at 13. So at that time, were you already rapping or trying to rap? Do you mean like at 18 you found your voice, or that was when you first were like, can I? All that in the time in between, were you practicing and trying to get into it?
No, so I didn't have a clue about rap at that point.
Right.
I just wanted to be a DJ. And then when I turned 15, I started producing, which kind of then introduced me to listening to other types of music, rap music and UK rap music, and then wanting to be a rapper. And then I started producing for a lot of, you know, other rappers that have become big names now, Tiny Temper and Chipmunk and people like that. And then just seeing them made me want to start writing my own songs. So from when I was about 16, 17, I started writing and being interested.
So it was kind of, when you worked with kind of creative people, you sort of fed off that.
Yeah, and then just fell in love with that. So,
so you did music in GCSE.
Yeah.
And what was that like?
It was cool. I went to the British Academy of Music College as well after school, which was cool. And yeah, it was, to be fair, like my music lessons in school didn't teach me much, but I learned, you know, what I could from it. So,
where's the British Music Academy?
It's Bromley by Bow. So Dizzy Rascal's been there and a few other names. So.
You'd have been like, God, that's local to me. Yeah. I'm in Bow.
Yeah? Oh, there we go.
Well, Dizzy Rascal's Bow as well, isn't he?
Yeah. There was a Bowie free.
There was an arts academy over the road. I was in a sitcom. Mm. And when we were filming, it was the first sitcom. And there was an arts academy over the road from where from the house we were filming in. Wow. And I thought I was doing a very bad job. And I sat in a car with all of the producers and the director and the writer and everyone. And I said, you should probably let them know that I'm here and I could go in and give them a talk. And everyone in the car just pretended I hadn't said it.
Do you worry they went home and went, can you believe
how arrogant he is? We just drove back to unit base in silence, and I was just like, oh fuck me,
why did I say that?
I knew I was joking. Everyone thinks I'm a wanker. Fucking hell.
When you turn up, when you're a producer at 15, right, and you walk into a studio and there's the actor there, are they expecting a 15-year-old to walk in? You got your producer coming in. This kid comes in. You'd be
not
like,
at all. Yeah,
are you kidding?
Like, what's going on here? No, it's all good, man. Like that, at that point, like, I don't know, I just felt like I was winging everything, like going along with whatever, learning new things, but just at the same time, learning by myself and going along with everything.
But do you feel at that age that you had, like, because in a lot of ways, sort of doing comedy and things, you're... Like Nick often says, that you can go out. We could go out and do gigs tonight, or do a gig somewhere,
And make some money.
Yeah.
And you can have agency over your career in that way. But do you feel like your career from like 13, 15 up is something that you've taken control over, or do you feel like your circumstance has put you in positions where you can sort of change and kind of become the kind of artist you've become now?
Do you mean like creatively?
Were you like, how much were you, you feel like, is your attitude almost like, an accident, I've fallen into all this stuff, I was 13 doing DJing and then I became a producer, and how much did you have that ambition and drive to actually change? And
I think a lot of it was myself, like, if I'm being honest, and also my family, and my mum was my manager for a long time, so she was a good support and helping me, you know, go for what I want to do. So just from when I knew I wanted to be a producer or a DJ, that is what I set my goal to
be. So it's you. Like, you're your own drive.
But it's self-motivation.
I would say until I got signed to a major record label, about 19 years old, that's when I think a bit of the creativity got lost a tiny bit, just because they had a lot of the control after that. And they kind of take control of your dream and everything from there, and it's all controlled by them.
And you don't like that, or you didn't like that?
It was okay. Obviously, it's good being signed to a major record label at the time, and you're young, and it looks good,
of course,
it feels good. But I think now I'm a bit more older, and I'm signed to an independent label, and I can do it how I want to do it and be more creative how I want to be. Mm. I prefer this way, to
but
be
like
fair.
The first few years are sort of like getting your foot in the door and sort of like realizing that that's what you want to do, and that's what, you know, just seeing where it takes you at first, and then when you're sort of like doing it, it's just kind of like, well, hang on a minute, let's regroup and like, what do I actually want to do? What do I want to do with this, what I'm doing?
How far do I want to actually take this?
Yeah,
because every step, I don't think I knew that I was going to go that far and that far further every time.
Absolutely.
So by taking control as well, so you've got it in your head that you want to be doing this when you're in your 60s and 70s, you want to still be in this. It still feels like you want a career rather than wanting to be like...
Yeah, no, 100%. I think I'll always be somewhere in the music business.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'll be performing and still making music when I'm like 50, 60, but I'm, you know, working at a record company or being head of a label or something like that would be the dream,
FUBAR Radio presents
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
We've got our first guest of the day in, and he goes by the name Vice Beats.
I've not been on Twitter for years, so like I've now remembered that exists.
But so what, did you just find out about Brexit and all that?
Yeah, I didn't know it was. Yeah, there was, everyone was like, the B word. I was like, what are you on about? What is this? So like, apparently something's going on.
Yeah.
Like,
there's this thing now called being woke as well. I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah,
you
I
missed
heard of that.
That. Wow. You missed that.
So I just thought I'd been awake, and then someone was like,
cancel culture,
are you woke?
You
was like, I don't that. Know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's been great.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville. Every Wednesday from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Out of Stellar Overdrive.
What's going on, guys? How you doing? Thanks for having us.
No, not at all. So you've got quite an elusive keyboardist, I hear.
Yeah.
What does
so
he?
So we're just going through it. Amin, who's the fourth member,
he sleeps 1 hour a night.
1 hour. So he is what Mark Wahlberg wishes he was, basically.
4:30 cryo chamber, 4:35 prayer.
He's got many different lives, different life personas.
But as long as he gets to shows on time, we'll.
This is true. That's all you expect of him, I guess. Yeah. How did you guys all meet? How was the band formed?
Oh, so we've been playing what, 2 years now?
Two years.
Started.
I mean, me and Raph knew each other when we were younger, and then you two were kind of like thinking about making music for a while.
Me and Kelvin met, and I just finished playing with a group, and we introduced, and someone was saying, "Oh, Kelvin likes writing music, and I like writing music," and we both kind of.
I was doing my own shit as well.
We were doing it kind of as a hobby, but not really like taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
And one day we turned around and we were like, "Actually, maybe we should like start writing music together." And then Rudy reached out to me. I put a song online.
Yeah.
And he hit me up being do
I'd recently just left my band as well, so I was looking for something new to pursue.
It was all pretty organic, really. And the first like 6 months we took it super slow. We were in the studio just like writing, kind of getting an understanding of what we each wanted to do, what we were trying to say.
Different backgrounds will come from different things.
Because I know Raph and Rudy, you two have got very famous fathers, right?
Well, it's my uncle.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
No, it's cool, man.
Well, very famous, you know, close relatives. Yeah. So was there a kind of pressure to kind of be in the arts?
I don't know if there was I mean, like, my family is all quite creative. I'm sure Raph can say the same, but I think it's just, you grow up with it, it's all you know, really. To me, like, it's just my uncle, it's just
my
father.
For sure, yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, I never felt pressured to break into the arts or, like, a creative thing. I think just from a young age, maybe growing up around, like, a lot of music.
It's a love thing, right?
I kind of just fell in love with music in, like, a lot of different ways, and I find it a good way for me to be able to express myself. I love writing, and also it's, like, it's a good thing to be able to meet up with mates, write music and have
absolutely
a laugh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we try and rehearse like 3-4 times a week, but sometimes that can be hanging out and talking about what's on next month, what are you thinking about?
Yeah, just spending time together and making sure we're all gelling and keeping it personal. You
that's
know,
all progress, When I first sort of got into music myself, had mates, and it was born from that, like you said, it was just hanging out. Yeah. You know, sometimes you make music, sometimes you might not, but I feel that it can get too robotic if you're just only there to make music.
Yeah, it loses the fun of it as well. Yeah. You want to keep it lighthearted.
It's about a lifestyle, isn't it? Like, otherwise,
absolutely,
it's just music.
Great way to put it.
You're just a music player, do you know what I mean? The whole energy of our thing is also the life we live. What do you know what I mean? What we do around.
Yeah, and I think, but that reflects
music
in our music. You know what I mean? That clearly comes through. That's why we hold it so important.
It's not just about like, we're gonna just play like this to sound like this. Like, it's natural, isn't it?
What's been interesting us like getting to know each other as better mates, and on music level, we all have such different influences and have all kind of had different projects in the past, and bringing that all together, getting to know each other, like how we write, what we listen to when we're not playing together, what kind of like sociable events do we like to go to, like do we like to go see like specifically live music on its own, do we like DJ music, like I used to do a bit of DJing, and I think subconsciously that's influenced the music that I write. But I picked up a lot of the guys of like Rudy loves samba drumming, so like that played a big part in moving forward in our writing.
We all just take our influences from different places.
And we all just put it. You can't really, obviously it's like, you could say it's punk music or like rock music, but if you actually take it in, it's so many different,
Different
styles. Obviously we've only got like 4 things out at the minute. Our EP, I think like everyone's gonna be able to see,
we've got more variety,
everything.
Definitely.
It's like literally we're putting in rap, we're putting in funk, Latin music,
even
reggae.
Even though you've got a comparatively small back catalogue, like you're really focused on live gigs, aren't you? You've already sold out Dingwalls.
That was a lot of fun.
You're headlining the Troubadour in Putney.
No, we played the Troubadour last week.
We've done it. We're doing it again.
They wanted us back. We wanted to go back.
Troubadour's a good. It's a good venue. Really cool.
We're there on the 9th of
April.
Yeah. And then of course there's the massive gig supporting the Manor at Brixton Academy.
It's only a couple of weeks away now.
How are you? Have you seen the Manor live before?
No, I haven't seen them live. No, I met Scotty. I met Scotty about a year and a half ago.
I grew up listening to their shit, so I was like, it's always that party music. I didn't see them live, but it would come on at the parties.
I was gonna ask how you've got prepared for their type of crowd. Going to parties is the best way to prepare.
I think as well, like with gigs and supporting people, obviously being aware of the crowd you're playing to and what you're getting yourself involved in is really important. I think there's a crossover there which is natural anyway. So I think for us it's a really big opportunity. And it's like brilliant to be able to work with them and play to a kind of, because a lot of our gigs we set up ourselves, so we have like a kind of small fan base or friends, family that come down and see us play. So this is a great opportunity for people that haven't seen us or heard of us come to us.
You go out and reach a new audience, you know.
Like, it feels like we're on the same kind of go crazy energy.
Yeah, we're on the energy, so as long as we bring that,
as long as people like getting a bit sweaty and jumping up and down, then they're going to enjoy
the Manor's fans.
Beers flying,
most definitely.
Any songs where you can just put a lighter up and sway. I don't think it would really work that way.
I've got a mouthful of shortbread right now.
I mean, the band name itself is a bit of a mouthful as well. So.
How did you come up with it then?
Oh God, the name.
Going back to the bin, mate.
Basically, long story short, we were looking for a name for Time. We were smoking outside our rehearsal space one day.
It was graffitied on a bin.
Just said Out of Stellar Overdrive.
No
on
way.
It. And we all were like, that's the name.
We just played it and like, that's the
dude
one,
that did it used to go into the studio and apparently was just this nutter that came in
and
out.
He was tripping and then
he was tripping in the morning.
Just sprayed it on the bin. There's the owner's friend and then
brilliant.
It was a gift.
I like the omission of the R from Stella. It makes me think Stella Artois.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
I like that a lot.
There we go.
Oh, good name, good name.
FUBAR Radio presents
Tuesday Takeover.
My name is Marshall Julius. Joining me today for our Nerdtastic Voyage, I see before me two cracking co-hosts, Ron Fogelman and Fraser. Okay, now let's say hello to our next guest. It's Dave Johns. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Dave, is there any truth to the rumours, and there have been a lot of them this week, that you're the next James Bond?
Oh, wouldn't that be great if you're the James Bond, eh?
No, I would love to see that. You'd have to be better than Daniel Craig, or Gollum, as I call him.
I'll knock your block off the floor, fell.
That is the next James Bond quote. I'm going to knock your block off, Bofield. That's genius. I want a T-shirt with that on.
Tuesday Takeover. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Some people know me as the Last Skeptic. And you know what? I'm here, back again, to top up my beautiful bricolage of things, very disgraceful, awful things that I've said on FUBAR Radio, just to update them and keep you fresh, you know, just keep lots of litigious things in your mind that you can sue me for. And I am back for another 2 hours with wonderful guests to talk so much breeze. And I've got on this show the best co-host in the world, Daniel Lawrence Taylor. Welcome, 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 welcome. Oh, what? Wait, what? Who's shooting? Who's shooting? What's going on? Oh, my God. Who's shooting? How are you doing, man?
I'm not too bad, you know. I'm all right. I'm good.
I feel very, very lucky to have our final guest of the day. Whoop, whoop. Representing the Manor, Johnny Dutchme.
What's happening, everyone? From long time, a long time, Bridging Curry himself.
I can't even, like, I first met you, like, a very long time ago.
I've probably known you pretty much as long as our career.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Because it was super early, yeah.
It was 2012.
Yeah, because we went to a studio to record something with an unnamed label, and the studio just wasn't good, man. Mm-mm-mm. And so we were like, fuck it, just come to my house.
Yeah.
So we just abandoned the studio.
And it's always, some of the best things we've ever done have been done in bedrooms. And that was in the setup, and in the way we sounded everything.
Everything was great.
It was smashed.
You guys are just so safe, man. And like so easy. And then I saw you around that summer just at parties.
It was like the
summer of 2012, 2013.
And that was a good summer as well.
It was a great summer.
I was just saying, 8 years ago, the Olympics. You see, the thing is, I remember that. That was an iconic moment for London. And I remember everything. Certain summers, like 2018 summer with the World Cup, even if you're not into football, that summer was bad. And it was mad for us. We just done our deal. We went out and shooting videos in Ibiza, but at the same time, you got England in the
Sick
World Cup.
Video. That,
thank you.
I loved
that. That was the funniest thing.
It looked so fun.
Do you know what? The most enjoyment and the best videos have come from when we've been abroad. We went and shot one in South of France when we first signed to our other label. Yeah. And then this one, the Ibiza one. Oh, my days. We took the royal piss because we had all of our friends, like, can you imagine, they said to you, I won't even tell you, they gave us a stupid budget for that. I bet they regret it every day, but we got all of our friends and we got some Scarface excuse my language.
No, do it, swear.
Motherfucking villa. Like, this was like, it looked like you walk in and there'll be a mountain of cocaine on the table. But anyway, look, and we had
but
this
not
for
in this
four,
video,
not
okay?
in this video.
This was professional.
We had to wait till the camera stopped. But we walked in and literally, we had it for 3 days.
Yeah,
load of models.
Yeah,
it was a dream.
Oh man,
I think it might have peaked at that point. If
I'm it's all done here from there. But I mean, I've
still never been to Ibiza. Can you believe it?
Oh my days!
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm not gonna go until I'm playing or until I've, you know, something professional to do there.
And
I said the same about Glastonbury, and I'd never been until last year.
Oh, you picked a good year.
It was. It was good, man. It was really good.
Everyone who's gone there, I've never been Glastonbury, and I had the same thing. Same thing I said, you said, I'm not going to go until I get booked because they booked like 4,000 acts anyway, right?
Yeah.
So I was pretty offended last year, but we sort of fall out with our agents. So it was partly our fault. But this year we're still fingers crossed trying to get on there.
Yeah.
But if not, I'm
You'd
going.
You'd be perfect for like, your show's crazy. Like, you've got so much energy. Yeah. Surely.
It would be something. Yeah. Look, I'm not going to beg them, but I am. So if we don't get booked this year, I'm jumping over the fence and I'm bringing everyone with me as well.
Whoa. All right. So before we go, and we should wish well to Danny.
Danny's
and
got
Scotty.
The coronavirus.
Okay. But fine. He's here, all right.
Do you know what? It's not a funny matter whatsoever.
Yeah. Stop laughing, Danny.
No, it's hilarious when you think of Danny having the coronavirus. He went Bali last month.
Right. Yeah,
come back.
Yeah.
And this was when the coronavirus was first kicking off. He come back and he was like, shit, I didn't have any mask. Everyone else was wearing masks in the airport. I didn't have any. And he was on a connecting flight. So he was in the airport for like 4 or 5 hours. So he's thinking, if you're going to get coronavirus, you're going to get it then. Now he still thinks he's got it again because he's got chest pains. I said, Dan, have you done anything differently? What's the matter? How many cigarettes you had today? He said, I've had 40 snaps today. I've had 40 snaps, but it might be coronavirus. Yeah, more than likely it's coronavirus. Yeah.
FUBAR Radio presents
Joey Page. I'm delighted to have Craig from Flying Vinyl in the studio. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's a music subscription service where you send people a monthly subscription of vinyl.
Yeah, I bought a box set for you as well.
Oh, bless you.
Recently, our product got banned from China briefly because we had the revolution written on the front of the box. They didn't like that.
Oh.
It was music and it hasn't been vetted by the Chinese authorities. So
that's a nightmare.
I know.
Did you just like recover it and send it out?
Yeah.
Or? Yeah.
It's not like revolution against the government, but hey.
Joey Page. Every Wednesday from 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Drugstore Romeo's welcome to the show. And Sarah, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
I've got a balloon and everything. Can you hear it?
We can.
You can.
It's like, what's it called?
ASMR.
ASMR.
Just don't pop it.
Where people...
kill some people.
Do you want to explain that to people that might not know what that is?
ASMR? Well, Charlie's really into it more than me.
Are you, Charlie?
I've never got the tingles you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
But so it's when you, like, talk like this, like, really quietly. Lots of clicking.
And is it supposed to relax you or excite you?
Yeah.
No, it's maybe exciting and relaxing at the same time.
Okay. I mean, it's supposed to be relaxing, but sometimes it can...
It gets exciting.
It can transition. You're like...
And any other birthday highlights? Have you got any presents from these two gentlemen sat across the desk
yet.
From you?
Not yet.
No.
Pressure's on.
Do I have any presents?
Forgot it was even
their
birthday.
Wow. Yeah, Johnny, but welcome, my
birthday. They're in my coat in the lobby. I'll give
Are
them
they?
To you.
All right, all right.
We might send you out to get them now if it's worth it. I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, it's actually a pretty cute one.
Do you want to go and get it?
Oh, my gosh.
You're going to receive birthday presents on air.
Live on air.
Get it.
She can scream sometimes when she's excited.
Finally, some exciting content for the social. This is ASMR. Describe to the listeners what's happened.
Okay, so Charlie's just gone and given me a happy bean man.
A happy bean man?
Pea. It's a happy pea, man.
It's peas in a pod.
It's peas in a pod.
Not and beans in a
toy.
Is there three in there?
There's three in there.
Do they represent each of you?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Naked pea man.
It's hooded.
I didn't even know that. Yeah.
So you can take its little pea cloth off, its little pea wrapper. I think actually, you know, in Toy Story, the most recent one, I think they had one like this. Die? I think that's one with a scary, mean, big bear.
So there's, I've not got that wasn't on the plane, so I've
but
not
it's
seen
very
that.
Cute. I don't know if it makes any noise.
No, it's not a dog toy.
No, but for like, you know, crinkliness for the ASMR listeners out
okay,
there.
Okay, what's the second item?
Oh, I just saw it. Oh, it's a little disposable camera.
A black and white disposable camera.
Ooh,
for all the memories.
Capture my birthday.
But not the colours.
Not in colour.
Yeah.
No.
That's cool. You know, you could... Well, let's... That seems like a good enough segue to get back into what you're here for. So, music. So tell us a little bit about you guys. I know, obviously, Charlie and Johnny, you were friends growing up, and then you put a little advert out and found... The pea loving cake eating Sarah.
Exactly what we were looking for.
Oh, yeah. It says on it, I'm a vivacious vegetable pea. Please look after me.
I feel like we might have lost that for the entire
Sorry, yeah, I need to put it away. It's too distracting.
I'm not going to lie. You lost her when she got that balloon half an hour before we entered.
Okay, like, it's not there anymore.
So I think quite a lot of my questions have gone out the window because me asking where a lot of your influences come from, I can see the energy that comes from Sarah is how you get to some of your stuff. But. Tell us, because I know it's quite prominent in the feel of your music, that you grew up outside of London and kind of that was your music scene as opposed to coming into town and getting involved in that. So just tell us a little bit about being from the wilderness of Hampshire.
I guess living...
It's Hampshire, right?
Fleet.
Fleet.
Our woods and our services.
I guess living in Fleet kind of... You search for music that kind of romanticizes the slow-paced sort of existence.
Right.
And also the countryside, like, we spend a lot of time just in parks and stuff and finding music that fits your environment.
I guess there's also, like, there's less gigs going on, so you're kind of going to less gigs and meeting less people who are listening to music, so you have to
you go down your own path rather than getting lots of influences.
You have to go on related artists, and you have to be like, I'm trying to find new, you have to like look for new music or whatever, which then sometimes means that, I don't know, we're really into like broadcast who aren't like really well-known band in terms of they're like somewhat niche. But it's like a big thing for us for a while was broadcast, and so that shaped our sound.
I think we related to broadcast as well because they were just from a small town near Birmingham, and a lot of their music was about kind of isolation and you could tell that they didn't come from the city.
And you totally get that from your music, like not in a disparaging way, but like there's a real disconnect in your music. Like you feel very floaty and sort of a bit hazy rather than
it's not kind of visceral and present. We're kind of floating
about.
And to a certain extent, the lyrics aren't all like entirely kind of. It's not like a story or a theme. Like this is life. There's a theme, but there's not like a kind of. Too much excessive imagery where you're like, oh, you're in this place, you're talking about this thing or this time, and it's so that gives it that escapism kind of malleability.
We'd seek escapism, and so that definitely translated to our lyrics our sound
So tell us a little bit about, because obviously Fleet on the face of it is not a very remarkable place. Like I'm from a place a bit like that, not a lot really happened. It's just like a sort of satellite town, but because you spent a lot of time there, what can you tell us something quite unique about it, whether it's like a place or a shop or
there's
a character?
There's
a lot of hairdressers.
Yeah. A lot of hairdressers. Yeah. We are, our landmark is the service station.
Oh yeah. We've never been.
Which says a lot.
But we're bringing it up.
It's a good one. As someone who travels around the country.
It puts us on the map.
Yeah.
We have something called Fleet Pond, which is very, I don't know, it's actually a massive fucking lake. Oh, damn. Oh, no, I'm allowed to.
No, you can swear. No, we were.
And even if you hadn't been, it's your birthday. So
birthday. I don't know if you knew that.
So essentially.
Did you know that? If you go in for an interview at the BBC... You're not allowed to swear unless it's your birthday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think that should be in the rules.
Ofcom take a day off. Take a birthday.
What else is there? Yeah,
there's a massive lake that's
but
a pond.
It's misleading because it says it's a pond, but it's really big.
It's really big.
Yeah. We had this guy called the Pink Man of Fleet.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now, this is the kind of thing I'm after.
I hugged him once.
He was about 35. And
what's wrong with that?
just trying to paint a picture.
Like, yeah,
just
on.
Imagine how strange this
somebody
guy
sent right. today.
He's male and he's 35, right? So just imagine how weird this guy must be, right?
Yeah, go on, carry on.
But he would, as you can probably guess, he would wear all pink, but it would be like a pink tutu, mm-hmm. a tight pink top.
It'd be like pink tights and pink ballet shoes.
So sort of, ballerina sort of themed. And the theory was, or the rumour was, that he wore pink to ward off the devil.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I think he would tell people
I thought you were going to say the other thing.
Rumor.
No, don't say the other thing.
Much
it gets a little darker. I'm going to leave that to the imagination.
Go somewhere, I think. But
And
but,
do something. But yeah,
back,
no.
Back when
not.
We were 13, we would just go up to town. So that's essentially the funnest thing you could do as a 12 to 14 year old in Fleet is you leave your house, you walk to the local town, you walk through the town, buy an energy drink and a pack of sweets or a pack of chocolate if that is your choice of confectionery, and then you walk back home through the park, have a little swing, like maybe knock on some houses, run away. I don't know.
Those are the days when you could buy an energy drink at the age of 13.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I get what I need for now.
It's
a bit weird.
Or toxic waste as well. That was good. You have a whole day going through the toxic waste and like your tongue slowly starting to bleed
peel off.
Toxic waste is like a sweet, isn't it? I don't know.
Mouth is filling up with saliva.
There was a sweet shop in Fleet and they sold mega sours as well. Yeah, and they were like way more sour than toxic waste and they would genuinely peel off the skin on your side.
And after all of this, like too much excitement for you as 13-year-olds.
No,
you started this band.
Yeah. All of this kind of sour pink people wasn't enough for us.
Nail on the
crazy
head.
Adrenaline addicts.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, guys. Sadly, I've run out of time with you.
Kept you in every afternoon.
But also, you've got to fit some more birthday in before you do.
It's been really fun.
Get a few more balloons.
FUBAR Radio presents
Ian Boldsworth.
We're joined by Lawrence Fox, by the way. Hello, sir.
James is my dad. He was a big cheese. Now he sort of takes it easy. And he works still, but he's not doing loads of gear and having a massive, great time.
Is your brother famous Fox? Is it Michael J?
Michael J is my brother. And Jamie.
Is Edward Fox one? Did I get Edward Fox
Edward
right?
Edward Fox is right. Yeah, he's my uncle. Fox. Amelia Fox, she is my cousin.
In that case, then, what I'm saying about all this like Illuminati and hidden things and all that, this family is exactly that.
You'll look out the window later on and you'll just see this guy dressed in a full monk's habit, beating himself some barbed wire.
Yeah, and then when window cleaning things will come up and it'll be James Fox. What do you mean you fucking don't know who I am?
No, it'll just come up and go, you're cancelled.
Ian Boldsworth. Every Monday from 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
We're joined now by Arthur McBain. Hello, Arthur.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to the studio.
Thanks. Pleasure.
No one's ever said that.
I like it. Hello, hello.
You got away with it, no?
Why would I not?
It sounded right.
I think it was someone else that sounded like an affectation. I think with you, you sold it.
Thanks.
I'm not even messing. I'm being serious.
Oh, I've been practicing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. It's like if I went, hey now.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know.
Yo, dude.
Yeah, I said sup earlier on as an ironic joke.
Wasn't natural, was it?
No, not at all. Not at all. But even hello, hello.
Wasn't ironic or a joke?
Yeah,
sup.
It's really good.
Hello, hello. That works.
Right, we've got to talk about a thing on ITV.
Today
is the 2nd of March, so this is starting in 2 days' time on the 4th of March.
Well done that for explaining how calendars work.
2 days' time, ITV.
How long would it be if it was on the 7th of March?
I can only do basic maths. And I have to work that out.
Well, established that it is on the 4th of March.
Which is 2 days away
from it.
That's Thursday, isn't it?
What if it was on the 19th of March?
It's not Thursday, it's Wednesday. Wednesday the 4th of March.
Oh, yes, yeah, I got that wrong.
Earlier on, I read out all the screening dates for the Parapod movie, and Nat was just talking over it, going, that's Wednesday, that's Thursday. And then it transpired at the end of it. She'd been looking at the wrong month.
I thought Good Friday was on a Sunday. I thought that was weird.
So just all wrong?
I used to have a housemate, honestly, I'm not kidding.
It's nothing to show off about. I wasn't going to question yet.
I don't believe you. Actually, I've got two now.
Have you?
Believe it, yeah.
Have you?
No, my old housemate. You used to be able to give her a date at any point in the future. Right. I mean, I'm talking like years in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
You tell her the date and she'd tell you what day of the week it was.
And where is she now? I mean, we know she's not got married.
don't know where she is. She went, you know, she just sort of disappeared. And
what?
She disappeared?
She did a puff of smoke.
I said, what day of the week is March the 4th, 2073? Right. She exploded.
Right.
Wow. That was it.
When you say that she could tell you the day of it, did you fact check it?
Of course I fact checked it. She just sit there and go, what day is that? Wednesday.
Anyone
Whoa.
Could do that. Yeah. Why have you got a house? How old are you?
I'm 27. Yeah.
Have you got housemates now?
I've got two housemates, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Do you mean like your kids?
No. I'm like my mates. Everyone my mates.
It's 27 years old and you've still got housemates?
No, yeah, it's not. It's not unusual. I'm fully expecting to still be living with them in my 40s.
Oh, yeah. Do you live in London?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So
yeah,
is it a necessity in London? You've got you'd have to do that.
It's quite rare unless you're... And I don't know how much ITV1 are paying. You're on the Prime one, so they should be paying you fair work more than two,
I've
right?
just noticed but how blonde your hair is today, Nat.
Oh, it is
Maybe
blonder.
It's because you sat under a different... Is it a lot blonder than it was?
I had it done a few weeks ago, but thanks for noticing.
Looks nice.
And you didn't notice, Arthur, thank you.
I've never met you before.
Good
Come
point,
on.
All right, fair enough.
Oh, I wish I could do that with her. I'd love that, just to shut her down by going, I've never met you before.
Next time I see you, I'll be sure to compliment you on your hair.
Thank you. And I'll be like, actually, I've got roots. You didn't know this.
What
needs to be doing.
Am I the only person here interested in promoting
The Trouble with Maggie Cole? ITV1 on Wednesday night, which is the 4th of March.
Do you hear
that, PR? Dawn French is in it.
Yeah, she is in it.
Mark Heap. Are we saying 9 o'clock, I imagine?
It's 9 p.m.
Yeah, I thought so.
It's on the
Dawn French is in it. Mark Heap.
Have a look on your planner.
Yeah,
Arthur, when's Dawn French in it? Have you never done streaking, ever?
I've never stroked.
Do you know what I did for the first time last week?
No.
Genuinely.
Go on.
The first time I've ever done it in my life.
No.
Skinny dipping.
Have you? Oh, no, yeah. I have skinny dapped.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I did.
This was in a foreign, foreign land, wasn't it? It was hotter than here, right? You were away.
It was in a heated
week.
Swimming pool.
Oh, right. It was in a pool.
Oh, right.
Was this not public where you were last week?
No, it's private. So
I don't think it counts as skinny dipping if you're on your own, really.
What do you mean it doesn't count? I had no clothes on.
Yeah, but...
What more? I had goggles on, actually.
Oh, my God.
And a swimming cap.
I didn't have a
swimming cap.
Do you not
cap?
Think skinny dipping's got a little element of risk to it, that you might get caught, your clothes might get nicked off
people,
the beach?
People could have seen me. You could see into the area.
Okay.
But the area itself was privately owned.
Okay.
So yeah, it was somewhere that was staying, so it was a private pool.
Okay. Right.
So
yeah,
no one
could
have come in and just jumped in there with me.
Right, yeah.
But people from the surrounding areas could see into that
could,
pool.
Could, and did.
Do you know what? Somebody actually did.
No, really?
Because... It was a jogger.
Oh.
A girl just jogged really close to the pool.
Did she stop?
Yeah.
She didn't stop. And I'm glad she was jogging because...
Well, she went from jogging to running.
It was genuine at the moment. Because what I was quite enjoying doing, right? You know when you reach the end of the length?
Yeah.
Right? And you turn around and stuff.
Yeah.
And you push off with your feet. I was quite enjoying pushing off my feet.
Yeah.
And then, like, going under the water.
Yeah.
So when I went under the water, I was deliberately putting my bum out of the water before I went under.
You were breaching. I think that's the technical term.
Yeah,
okay.
It's on the 4th of March.
4th of March.
Trouble
with
Maggie Cole.
It's got Dawn French.
Dawn French is in it. Mark Keep as well. Yeah, so I got really into it. I was really enjoying it. The freedom of it, Nat, you wouldn't believe it.
Really? How many lengths did you do naked?
Well, it was difficult for me to go. Basically, it was dragging along the floor of the pool, so it was actually getting quite difficult for me.
Right, okay, the deep end. Got it. ITV1, 9 p.m. Wednesday.
Let's talk about it. Come on, promote it.
It's got Dawn French in it.
Yeah.
Dawn French is exactly as you'd want her to be.
Yeah.
She's just great. She had the whole cast and crew over for Sunday lunch.
That's nice. So it was at her own house?
It was at her house, yeah. Nice. And she put on a massive spread and we all went swimming. She's got her own pier. She lives in Foyen in Cornwall.
If I properly befriend Dawn French, I could plausibly go skinny dipping there.
Yeah, I would recommend it.
I worked with her once.
Did you? Go on.
Yeah. I did warm up on French and Saunders.
Did you?
Yeah. Blew my mind. It was a really difficult night for me because I was trying to get over too many things. Imagine being on a stage where you're already shitting yourself because you're working with two of your comedy heroes and you look into the audience and you see Aidan Edmondson and Lenny Henry just sat at the back looking at you while you're on stage. And thank fuck, proper laughing.
Wow.
And that's the moment good. Where you go, I'm fine here.
Yeah.
I'm amongst friends here. But I had a long chat with Dawn by the side of the stage when John Plowman was on. And she was talking about people making fun of weight. She said to me, do you find this, that you don't mind if you've done it yourself or if with friends or whatever, but when somebody else does it, it really upsets you?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it kind of doesn't, but I understand. She said, no, I find it really upsetting if somebody else just brings it up. And it was only when I got home afterwards that I was like, there was no mention of me being fat. She just fucking walked onto me. Just made a fucking beeline for me.
FUBAR Radio presents
Black Street. FUBAR Radio was off the chain. We had a great time speaking to everybody. We felt like we were home in there. They calling us legends throughout the whole show.
Right, and they're funny.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.